What's up, Upper Room Young Adults? This is Chase. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast where we recap our Friday night messages. This last Friday night, we jumped into Acts 20, Matthew 13, and some other passages where we felt like the Lord was leading us to the soil of our hearts, the soil of His house, and the seed of our lives. So I just pray, as I always do, as you listen, that the Lord would speak to your heart afresh. He would take you deeper into His heart for you, and that you would be deeply encouraged and ministered to. So again, thanks for tuning in. We love you guys.
Let's go to Acts 20. Can we do that? I am just full of faith that the Lord's going to do something so real in our hearts tonight. So Acts 20, verse 7 through 12. And I want to connect this even to prior. This is actually something that Aaron Smith has preached in Young Adults before. And I've actually talked with Aaron about it before. Of like, I believe that we just need to keep preaching this for our generation, not just the young adults in Upper Room. And so I want to touch on this again. And tonight, I feel like out of Acts 20, the Lord is inviting us off the windowsill. If you read that, that's actually our heart's cry, that God would call our generation off the windowsill of distraction so that He can plant us into the soil of God's house. And I think a lot of us are sitting on the windowsill and we're watching all the things that God's doing, but we have no internal awareness or internal fruit of what God's actually wanting to do in us. Can I tell you that? God doesn't want you just to be a spectator so that you wake up 10 years from now and you don't taste any fruit from your own life. Wow. He's inviting you not just to watch and to hear. He's inviting you to say, what can I take from what I'm watching and hearing and let it get in here? I say this all the time. I used to say this to my brother. I used to say this to all my youth students growing up. This is prime real estate. This is worth more than every house in Highland Park in Dallas, Texas. This right here. And this is what He came to obtain. And it's what He's going to do tonight. Let's go to Acts 20 again. If you're there, say, I'm there. I'm not there, so hold up. I still got a Bible with tabs because I don't know the books of the Bible. Oh, this made me think of something. You're going to laugh. USM applications are now open. Yes. So we got USM in here. Maybe you've been coming. Maybe that's something God's been stirring in your heart. The reason I say that is because I don't know the books of the Bible, and I might need to say yes to USM. I'm just kidding. I believe this, though. It would be an incredible opportunity to even talk about the soil that we're going into, especially if you feel like the Lord has called you into a call of God. We all have calls of God, but specifically in the arena of ministry, prayer, what we do here, maybe that's for you. All right, Acts 20, verse 7 through 12. It says right here, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul then went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. He said, "Don't be alarmed," he said, "he's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate, and after talking until daylight, he left. And the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. I read this passage because I want to jump into a vision and a word that the Lord gave Michael Miller several years ago about our generation, and specifically pertaining to Upper Room and what I believe Upper Room is called to be as a house. So even if we know this to be true, if God's called that to be for us as a house for this generation, then I believe there's actually an increase to the invitation for our generation that has called this our physical house that we dwell in. And this truth, it's the story of Eutychus. It's the seal to the soil, right? And he had this picture that our generation was Eutychus. I've already stated this. But we're looking at all these people being used by God, anointings, giftings, and we're hearing them talk on and on and on. But what do we know to be true about Judas? Because it says he fell asleep in his heart, and in him falling asleep, he went from sitting and spectating to falling out of the house. And I want to bring evaluation to this because God is faithful, and I actually believe there's a narrative that he's writing even right now that many have fallen out of the house, but them falling out of the house and dying needed to happen so that their life can become a seed to resurrect them back into the house. But I believe this to be true. I think we're sitting on a windowsill tonight in any way, shape, or form. We're in seasons of transition, invitations from God into the more. This is even, scale this back. This is more about than just getting planted here at Upper Room. I'm talking about planted into the soil of the Lord, which I believe is tethered together in within ourselves in the soil of our own hearts. But I believe this to be true. I see this picture so clearly tonight that many of us are sitting on a windowsill in some way. And we're either going to lean in and fall in to what God's doing, which I'll tell this to be true. If you're sitting up high enough, I think we got to die either way. You're either going to die falling out of the house or you're going to be called to die falling into the house. And I don't want to fall out of the house and experience in death and resurrection then to come into the house. I'm just saying, Lord, I don't want to fall asleep. Keep me awake and let me fall into the soil of your house. And in falling into that soil, I want to be resurrected. And I've seen this truth and this principle here that I love that Upper Room's called a steward. A lot of people love resurrection, but not a lot of people love death. Especially our generation. We love resurrection, right? We love miracles. We love signs. We love wonders. We love running in the river. And that's incredible. But there has to be a depth that precedes those deep places in God to be true. Because if not, again, you can do it all out here and do it sitting on the sill and God never get in here. That's why I even love that Michael talked about Thanksgiving last Sunday. I think what if we could zoom into what God's doing, I think God's putting his finger on one thing. He's not putting it on revival. He's not putting it on all the stuff that we need to do more. He's saying, I want the fullness of your heart. Because he doesn't desire us to step in to things for him and have no connection to him. And so if you've been sowing seed and it hasn't been working, this is what God's bringing back to. He's going after the soil tonight. I love in Hosea, it says this, break up the fallow ground, for it's time to what? Seek the Lord. And then it says this, sow for yourself righteousness. Sow for yourself right standing with the Lord, so then that you would reap a harvest. But here's the truth. You can't reap until you get dirty. A lot of us want revival, but we've never sowed in the soil of prayer and intercession long enough for God to birth something that he actually has to sustain. And a lot of us in our generation are giving birth to things out of our own power and out of the soil and strength of our own hands that we get in it and we get weary, going back to last month talking about the yoke, and we're tired because we birthed it out of our own strength versus letting it being planted in the soil of who God is, in the soil of our heart, and let him take care of it. There's a powerful truth. If you would just surrender to the Lord, he'll take care of it. But when our hands get in the way, it gets all messy. And then we wonder why we get this cross germination. And we're like, man, I thought that was going to be an orange. Why is it an apple? You know what I mean? Like, why? I thought this was going to happen, but why didn't it? And it's because we are trying to get, we're getting in the way of who he is. And God's all he's saying to you, all he's saying is tonight, just break it up. Let God separate the hard-heartedness and separate the wheat from the chaff so he can get what? To the actual thing that he wants. And he wants our hearts. He doesn't want anything else. The truth is, I think our generation is giving him all the things that we can do, but not giving him who we are, so that when what we're doing isn't there anymore, we don't even know who we are. We sing songs about his affection, and it's like the A.W. Tozer quote. It's just lies to us. That's the problem, what you see with the journey of the Israelites in the Old Testament. They do all these things for God. They go around the same mountain, and then you get to the last book of the Bible, and they're still asking the burning question, do you even love us? Because they are exceeding who they are versus the real truth. That I think it comes back to even being soil. It's a lot easier said than done. Following Jesus isn't rocket science. And we've made it that. All this is to be true. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Follow Jesus. Wake up tomorrow. Pick up your cross. Die a little more. Follow Jesus. Oh, pick up your cross. Die. Follow Jesus. And maybe something blossoms and takes off. Oh, guess what? I'm going to run back to the cross, die a little more, so I don't have to steward it whenever I get older. He will breathe life on it. He will be the one. He will be the gardener of your soul. You don't have to do anything but say, I'm just going to keep dying. I'm just going to keep surrendering. And even if it hurts, I'm going to keep doing it because I see the fruit that only you can produce in me and through me. But here's the invitation first. Where are you going to choose to die? There's two soils. There's the soil of God's house, and I believe there's a soil in the earth, which is the world. But you can't be planted in both. So there's an invitation there in front of us. Let's go to Matthew 13, talking about our hearts. I'm going to let Jesus preach for himself tonight. Can we do that? There's some passages in Scripture that don't need interpretation. They just need ears that listen. I'll say that again. There are some passages in Scripture that just aren't necessarily up for interpretation. They just need ears that listen so that your heart can turn into the soil that we're about to read about. Matthew 13, it says this. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Then listen to this. He who has ears, let him hear. Here's the truth. Sometimes our soil issues are because we have hearing issues. And we wonder why we're taking God up on the same conversation, because he's actually wanting us to do what he told us to do maybe the first time. Here's a beautiful truth, even talking about dying, resurrection. A few weeks ago, I was coming up here. And you know why this invitation is so necessary is because we want a Christianity that has a different path than what our Savior went before us. Because he died. He did all the dying, right? So we don't have to. He died, so I don't have to. I'm not talking about like a religiosity striving. I'm talking about, here's the truth. He knew he was going to die and still beckoned you to say, come and die with me. Because here's this. We don't die when we actually don't believe that there's a seed already waiting in the ground with us to die with. And that seed has already been in the ground. And his name's Jesus. That's why it says in Matthew 12, unless a grain of wheat falls into the grounds and dies, it dies alone. He's more or less beckoning an invitation saying, you can come and die here because you're not going to die alone. But I love this. A few weeks ago, I was dropping Ellie off for school because I want to state this and why this invitation is there and tether it into this truth that we need. But usually on the way to school, I usually like taking shortcuts. Anybody else in Dallas take shortcuts all the time, right? You hit traffic, you're like, oh, I'll take shortcuts. So Ellie's used to saying, hearing me say this, like, oh, we're going to take a shortcut, baby. We're going to get to school soon. So one day I'm driving, not even saying a word. And I hear her little voice go, Daddy. And I was like, what, baby? Jesus didn't take shortcuts, did he? And I said, baby, I don't think he did. And then she just said something random. Which if you know Ellie, my oldest daughter, that is Ellie. She is one with the Spirit, one with the Lord, and one with her princess world that is internal at the same time. But here's the truth. Jesus didn't take a shortcut. Jesus didn't bypass soil. He was the definition of the seed and the soil. Meaning this, when I read this, he's saying, let him have ears to hear, because if you truly want to come and follow me in growing me, listen to what I have to say. Because this is the truth. He embodied it all. Jesus didn't take shortcuts. If he died, he's calling us to do the same thing. If that wouldn't be true, then why did all the disciples die their Savior's death? And this is the truth too. I'll say this. We're not ready for the martyrdom conversation. You will not die then if you can't die tomorrow. We're more worried about the steak, and you can't even die at the steakhouse. People get your order wrong. What do you do? How do you treat people that can't offer you anything? I'm not talking about somebody holding you at gunpoint. I'm talking about being like Christ daily. And that's the soil of our heart that I'm talking about. That's the real estate that Jesus is after. He's after all of it or none of it. He's not a God of partiality. God gets what he wants, and either you run the other way or you surrender to it. And it's like Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock. He's not knocking on anything else but our heart, saying, that's what I want. I want the soil. I want the hard stuff. I want the offense. I want the bitterness. I want the unforgiveness. Because if I can toil up that soil, that seed that I have put in you, when you put it in there, it will bear fruit. Let's keep reading in Matthew 13. He who has ears says, let him hear. So the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. And you will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become hard or calloused. And because it's hard, they hardly hear with their ears. Here's another pause and reflect. If you're having a hard time hearing the voice of the Lord, it's not because the gifting of the perception of your hearing. It doesn't, like, can I tell you this? Hearing has nothing to do with the gift. It has everything to do with proximity. You're not having to strain to hear right now. So here's the truth. Why do we make hearing God's voice so hard? I'll just leave that one there. You just hear it. You're not, oh, I got to hear his ear, or I got to hear his voice. You just listen. But here's the truth. We can't listen to what God's saying if our heart is hard. It goes back to what I said in worship. God's more than just after more than our songs. He's after our hearts, because if he can get our hearts, then he can actually get the fullness of our worship in the fullness of our songs, not just for 6 months, the entirety of your life. Not just 6 months, the entirety of your life. Better yet, not just whenever everything is good and perfect in your Christian faith, even when you're offended, you still know how to worship God. Or even when you're battling unforgiveness, you know how to deal with it and worship God. Soil is necessary because it delivers us from a circumstantial Christianity. Let's keep reading. They hardly hear with their ears because their hearts are hard and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and I would turn and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Let's go back to those soils. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly, what? Falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But it says this, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. And it's he that produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what has been sown. Can we go to Psalms 84? I'm going to read a few more passages. I feel like there's this truth that God's been giving me in the soil of your heart. Because I want to put this on display tonight. The soil of your heart reveals a message. The soil of your heart reveals a message. I want to go a little bit, a deeper layer here, if that's okay. Can you guys track with me? I'm trying to make this applicable to our hearing ears and our hearts as a generation. I don't believe we have a church hurt problem. I believe we have heart problems. Because I hate to say it, you could leave here tomorrow, the church is still going to hurt you. That's why God's after this, our hearts. Because if he could get our hearts, then maybe we'd quit hurting people so much. He's after our hearts. Our hearts. The other day when I was praying in this, the Lord was saying, Chase, the soil of your heart is a message within a message, meaning this, the soil of your heart, I believe, begins to reveal the seed of your life. Because ultimately when that soil is there, I actually believe what God sows into it are the things that he's given us, right? Sometimes we see our purposes as seeds and this as seeds. But those seeds are micro seeds to the seed, which is you. Your life is actually a seed, even scientifically. We all were seeds at one point in time. You're a seed. And sometimes this is what I wrestle with so much internally, and I've seen it in my own journey. We get so fascinated with seed, and we run around saying, like, look at the seed, look at the seed, and we just come to church holding our seeds. And we never know or get to experience or taste fruit because we're mesmerized over what God's given, but we don't know how to steward what God's given, and therefore we get so, like all the parables, right? We fall into every single one of those categories because if it was actually precious to you, you would, what, do something with it. And I can't tell you this tonight. I think sometimes we walk around saying, look at the seed, because we want everybody else to sow it for us, but we're not willing to do it. I'm sorry. Can I tell you tonight, Michael Miller can't sow your seed for you. Your favorite preacher can't sow your seed for you. That worship was incredible, but that should reveal to you that no one can worship for you. It's up to you. And sometimes we hate these parables from the Lord because the Lord is actually confronting this. There actually is discipline and responsibility that is required of us, because that communicates our love to the one that we're surrendered and following. Can I say this? If you've seen Jesus and you've seen how faithful he truly is, when he bids you come and die, you just jump in the grave. You don't even have to say when, you just do it. Am I there yet? Absolutely not. I still squirm a little bit. All right, Lord, I'm gonna die. Because I've learned this to be true. Anytime that I've been hurt or offended, I've expected someone else to pay the price for me instead of myself. That's all offense is. You place your expectations on someone else, expecting them to do it, and it's no one else's problem but yours. And I know that might sound harsh. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm trying to be mean. But I've just seen it so often in our generation. Why do we have such a great falling away? And I don't even think we've even seen it yet fully. And it's because of this. We're walking around and we're not actually getting dirty. I'm going to pause here and I'm going to keep reading. We'll go to Psalms 84. Is this good? You tracking with me? Can I share something kind of swirly and interesting? Cool. Let's do it. So Sunday morning of Super Bowl Sunday, I woke up from a dream. And in the dream, the Lord was speaking to me about Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. It's a Chiefs one. Incredible. If you only watch because Taylor Swift was there, incredible. And this is interesting. I still don't know what to do with this. I'm just going to share this and submit it to you. I feel like the Lord was speaking. You know, there have been words for years about the Super Bowl, right? I don't know if you guys are familiar with streaming culture, but there was a word released in the 80s from a prophet named Bob Jones. And Bob Jones had released this word saying, like, when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, it'll be a sign of a next great revival and awakening to hit the earth. And it's the Chiefs that will win it, because it will be a sign of apostolic Chiefs being raised up in the earth to steward this revival that God's gonna pour out. And it's crazy because they've won so many Super Bowls in a matter of years, right? That we're like, oh, wow, this is the word. And just track with me, bear with me. I woke up that morning from the dream, and I felt this crazy thing in my heart, and I know this is wild. This is not to retract the word. I felt like the Lord was saying, Chase, I know everybody's looking to the Super Bowl and they're fascinated with the Chiefs, but I'm not actually looking just for Chiefs. I'm also looking for 49ers. And I sat there and I was like, Lord, what do you mean? Because I actually believe it's a picture. You actually have to start here. You don't just wake up a chief overnight. Our generation, we want to be chiefs. And my papa used to tell me when I worked with him all the time, everybody wants to be a chief, but nobody wants to be an Indian. Our generation wants to lead. They want to be at the forefront, but they've never tasted what it's like to get in the soil and actually give everything to go after something that's precious. Everybody wants to be the star quarterback that's won the Super Bowls at the front line of the revival, but you don't know what it's like to be the last pick in the NFL draft and be Mr. Irrelevant. And this is crazy. You got to get in the soil to get the gold, because a lot of us have never even built a house, and you got to build it on bedrock. And it was just this convicting message. Like, I was like, Lord, go 49ers. I don't want the Chiefs to win. I mean, that didn't happen. I was like, oh, I'm a false prophet. No, I'm joking. It was this message, though, of both. I felt like was before me, even when I watched the Super Bowl, of like, man, Lord, I believe the word of the prophets. I believe the prophets. I believe that it is time for revival. But God's saying, don't so seek to lead revival that you're not willing to go after the gold and get dirty. Like, it's both. It's getting in the soil. It's getting planted. It's getting rooted. It's taking time. I'd rather us get confronted with taking time than be like that man in Matthew 13 that said it only lasted a short time. I don't want a short time Christianity. I don't just want a flash in the pan reality. I don't just want to be in the middle of revival and then when revival's gone, you can't find me. I want to be like a seed planted in the ground. And then when you read in the scriptures, it says that you would be rooted. Why? So that when every false doctrine begins to blow like what? The wind, you're not swayed to and fro. But the only way you're not swayed to and fro is when you get the reality of, I got to get planted. I got to get planted in the word. I got to get planted in a church. I need to get planted before people that'll actually speak truth to me, that though they might not be the most fantastic, crazy revivalists on the face of the planet, they're steady, they're faithful, they love their wife, they've never cheated, they've never got so enamored with the gifts because they're fixated on Jesus, they're in it for the long haul, and they're gonna be the ones with the biggest crowns when we get into eternity because they said, it's both. Go after what's real. Go after the soil. Don't just go get enamored by the outside. Don't be a Eutychus. Don't be a one that just sits on the seal and listens to people preach. Yeah. And he's. And I believe this truth. You fall out, God's going to find you. He's going to lay on top of you. He's going to resurrect you. But I don't want to fall out. I don't want to fall away. Let's go to Psalms 84. We're going to go to Psalms 84, and then we're going to go to Psalms 92. I love what we preach here. Psalms 132, Psalms 27. I will not let sleep come to my eyelids. I will not enter into my bed, find slumber, until I've prepared a place for him. And I want to say this. I believe we've been in a prophetic parallel. I believe we've been in a prophetic parallel. I know we're moving into a new building, but I actually believe it's a prophetic signpost. There's ground being broken up. God's not after a building. The building is a sign of this. He's after us as a people. We need God. We don't need money. We need God. We're not just filling a building just to fill a building. We need the Lord afresh. He's the only one that can accomplish it. And I believe this to be true. If we would be willing just to break up the ground a little bit more, go a little bit deeper, not just say we've made it, but let's keep going, let's keep plowing. I believe that's when the Lord pours himself out on all these seeds that have fallen and died and harvest. But you got to get planted. Can we go to Psalms 84. Can we throw Psalms 84 up there? Awesome. I can't remember. Let me see what specific passages. I think it's just all of Psalms 84. Let's read all of Psalms 84. Then we'll get into Psalms 92, verses 13 through 15. It's up there? Awesome. Let's read it. It says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. It says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. It says, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring, and the rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's go to Psalms 92. Here is what God's saying tonight. The soil of your heart, I believe, will lead you to the soil of a house. I just feel this strongly. When you get planted in here with Jesus, he'll lead you to get planted outside of yourself in his body. And I know people will probably listen to this message, but I just believe this with every fiber of my being. Get into a local church body. I know that what we've seen for the past several years would want to put a narrative in your heart and mind that I don't need to go to church. The church isn't safe. It is a lie from the pit of hell. That's why the enemy and the gates of hell are standing at the door of the church trying to bring onslaught to it, because he knows if he can distort the image of Jesus' body in the earth, he will try to win. Can I tell you this? The enemy's not scared of conferences. The enemy's not scared of even initiatives. Like, I say this firmly. I've had hard conversations with friends and people that I love dearly. You got to be plugged into a local church body. I'm not going to stay on this too long, because I just believe it to be true. If I would have gone rogue, lone warrior, I would not be standing here right now. And that's a hard truth. And I say that with the heart of a father, to say what you need might not be what you want. Can I tell you, seed probably doesn't like being covered up in dirt, but it has to happen. Better yet, let's look at Jesus in the garden. Father, not my will, yours be done. Not my way. Not the one-on-one step Christian way that we've created, that, right? My way or the highway is what we come into church with a lot. You don't do X, Y, and Z, great. Oh, they dance there. You see what I mean? Like, that's where I say, I don't care. Just get planted somewhere, brother. Like, somewhere. It doesn't matter. Like, I have a firm belief, if you are planted somewhere in truth, you will endure to the end. Learn to submit. Learn to die. Learn to serve. Learn to surrender. That's what Jesus did. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. He came to sit and wash people's feet, no matter what opportunity he would have thought that got him. And then it leads him to the garden and say, Father, I'm having a hard time wrestling, but do you want me to die here? Because I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I want to read this in Psalms 92, and I want to end here. It says this: the righteous will flourish like a what? A palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. This is right here is what I've been feeling. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Whoa. I don't care. I will die on this hill. I don't care. I don't care how many Instagram followers you have. I don't care how much your itinerant schedule is full. I don't care. And I'm not saying that because I'm against it. I'm all for it, to the degree that you are planted and you are sound and you are submitted and you are strong and you are willing to serve, not doing your own thing, because the thing that will speak true to the end will be your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. The things that no one saw. The hard things. The soil of your heart. That's why the enemy's after making your heart faint. But if you can set it to say, like we read earlier, I want to faint for his presence. I want to faint for not fainting out of your strength because you're doing your own thing. You get so captivated in Jesus, you begin to faint for one drink like David did, because you realize there's nothing that can satisfy me but him. There's nothing that can sustain me but him. He is the gardener. He's the one that's going to put water on the soil. He's going to till me up, not just whenever, because this is the truth. God's still breaking up fallow ground in me. And I've been serving him for over a decade. And truth be told, if you could bring anybody up here that's been serving the Lord even longer than I have, they will tell you this truth. He's still doing it. He's still calling me to the soil to die. He's still saying, get low. He's still saying, surrender. He's still saying, bear the cup. Because in the end, you will get the reward, and it's him. And everything else that becomes with it is secondary. So that if it leaves, it doesn't matter because you still got him. And we so associated everything that we've gotten from him as him that God is separating the wheat from the chaff. And he said, the seed is me. I am the reward. I'm the pearl of great price. I am the treasure hidden in the field. But we're chasing false treasures because we've never gotten dirty. We've never gotten in the ground. And we want everybody else to get a shovel. And God's saying, here, dig. I can't pray for you. I know we say that and offends people. That's why we want everybody to lay hands on us. And I say this with zeal and compassion in my heart because I see a generation just over here and we're like moths to a flame. Anytime there's a flame. And I love that about our generation. We're hungry and God's gonna use us. But I pray, God forbid, don't just use us, know us. Don't just use me, know me. Know me. Know me when I'm at my worst. Know me when I want to give up. Know me when I'm in the garden like Jesus and it feels like I'm praying blood. Know me then so that you can know me transfigured in glory. Know me then so you can know me. That's why Jesus was always running to the Father, getting in the soil, getting alone, because I believe he was bearing a truth. I have to die here so that I can be resurrected there. I love our zeal. But God had to work this truth in my life. Chase, I don't want you to be so powerful that you don't think you can ever be planted. God's not... God's just not moved by a lot of the stuff we're moved by. I don't say that with a cynical heart. I say that because I've lived that journey. And I've learned the hard way. I've had to learn through extreme seasons of stripping and exposure and vulnerability. But in the end, I've seen it as God's love and mercy because he didn't just want all the stuff. He wanted the seed. He wanted my life. Aren't you thankful that we serve a Savior that embodied everything that he desires from us? He's not sitting hypocritical in heaven saying he wants all of us and he held some of himself on reserve. He gave it all. And that's why I say when you see that and you hear that and you begin to understand that in your heart, you go from just Eutychus on the seal to a seed in the soil. But I want to say this. You will never flourish in the courts until you first get planted in the house. Flourishing in the courts, the journey from the holy to holies, it first takes getting planted. And I'm not saying this about get planted here. If that's you, maybe this is for you. I'm talking about whatever season that you're in. Trust him and surrender. I love this to be true about seed. It embodies the definition of trust. It gets in the ground and it doesn't know what's going to happen to it. When it's going to happen. Maybe it'll flourish. Maybe it'll break the ground. Maybe it takes 10 years. Maybe it takes 20 years. I don't know. But if he said, get in the dirt, I can trust that I was obedient and I'm going to stay there till he does whatever he can only do. You know what I love this too? You know why the garden is so important? Why soil is so important? Because God's just bringing us back to how it all started. That's what he's getting us back to. He's not getting us back to churches and platforms. He's getting us back to walking with God, dwelling with him. You know what the first thing, when you know what who Jesus was mistaken as right after the resurrection? A gardener. Because it was the new Adam in a new garden after the chasm of man had been separated. The last time we saw God in a garden, he was telling man, you can't dwell here. But now in the New Testament, we have Jesus in the garden, fully God, saying, you see me. And better yet, I actually believe he was looking at humanity and telling this one truth. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to prune you. You know why? Because I love you. Bring it all back to this. He's saying get planted because he loves you. A good dad that loves his children says, stay at my house. And we think God's raising us up in his houses and to move out so we can prove who we are. And I just want to stay in the house. I want to stay in the house. I want to be the 40-year-old dude that stays at his dad's house. I know that sounds weird, but I want you to hear me with spiritual ears. I want to stay. We're trying to get too grown up. And God's saying the maturity he's desiring is not just our gifts, but our character. So in order to get familiar and grow up in our character, we have to first get familiar with his. And God's reintroducing ancient past to our generation. It doesn't look sexy. It might not satisfy you, but I trust you this. You'll be faithful to Jesus. That you'll stand before him one day and say, thank you, God, I didn't do it the way I wanted to do it. He's worth it. Can I tell you, every death I've died, he's resurrected me. And he wants to do that with you. Not just once, time and time and time again. Because he loves our generation. He loves us so much that he wouldn't let us think that we can just do it however we want to do it, and then it's on our terms. He's saying, I'm inviting you to the soil. It might feel uncomfortable, but I promise you, when you break through the ground and you feel the sun shining on you in that number 6 blessing, I cause my face to shine upon you and give you peace. When you feel that and you experience that resurrection, you're not even inches above the ground and you say, I'll die again for this glory. I think there's a greater glory that God's inviting us into tonight. And I believe to be true about us, even the young adults here at Upper Room? I believe God is saying in his mercy that he wants us to get this revelation now. Maybe 50 years ago, we could have took 30 years to finally realize and wake it up. But God's accelerating something. Because this surrender to die in the soil, can I tell you this? It's not just about you. It's not just about your purposes. It's about generations, not just apart from you that you'll meet. I'm talking about through you guys. Like the greatest thing that burns in my heart, being a dad and looking at my girls and saying, Lord, I want to cultivate a garden that they can inherit. Because I won't be able to look at them and be like, here's my itinerant preaching schedule, buddy. Honey, go do it. No. I want to give them daddy's tears and daddy's surrender and daddy's hardship so that whenever I'm old and they're taking care of me in the nursing home, I'm still staying faithful. I'm still looking at the one whose eyes that burn like flames of fire. Because this isn't a game. It's easy to get moved in your soul at a place like this that is special and holy. And God's saying, I want it to be deeper than just moving all of this. I'm beckoning this. He's walking through the heart, which is your home. He's walking through and he's looking. He's saying, I want to buy this tonight. This is what I want. This is prime real estate. And I've done it before, but this is the thing. He didn't just surrender himself once. This is the truth I love in the Old Testament, and this is why we need to get familiar with it. He will persistently chase us down time and time and time again. And I know the revelation of the cross, it is everything. But I feel like if we could see where he was in this room, he is chasing our hearts down, saying, do you trust me? I know it's hard. I know you've been hurt. I know even right now, the Lord's saying, I see that you've been hurt by the church specifically, pastors, shepherds, leaders, and they should have been there. But the Lord's saying, look and see again. That's not me. I love the quote from Keith Green. I'm sorry that hypocritical people have hurt you and followers of Jesus have hurt you. But can I tell you the truth tonight? Jesus Christ is no hypocrite. Men are falling away like the wayside, and it's good. We need God to tear down some idols in our culture, because my faithfulness is not dependent upon one man on a platform. My faithfulness is dependent upon one man seated at the right hand of the Father praying for me. He's not fallen. He's not fallen. People will fall, people will fail, but it doesn't matter when your seed and your life is in the soil of his hands, that you can trust him and you can endure shaking and tossing and wavering and hurt and pain. And you know what happens? You know this to be true about palm trees, right? Psalms 92, as they bend, the roots go deeper. And sometimes the wind has to blow. Can I tell you this? Sometimes the house has to be shaken for the foundation and the roots to be tested, but better yet, for it to go deeper and deeper and deeper. So if you felt shaken tonight, you're safe because you're in God's house. And God wants to speak to you. Can we just close our eyes all across the room? The Lord is near. We can't just put our hands on our hearts. And just for the next few moments, I just want to pray. But I want you to begin to talk to the Lord about the soil of your heart. I want you to begin to invite the Lord in, saying, Jesus, can we test the soil a little bit? Can you honestly tell me how the soil of my heart is? Not so I can be better, so I can know you. And if you felt weak and you felt weary, the Lord's going to meet you tonight. He's meeting all of us. You don't have to be, can I tell you, there's no such thing as like a strong seed. It's just like Jesus. I'm just going to die again and I'm going to trust him. Because I believe that when he puts his hands on me, resurrection is going to break out. Lord, I pray tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you would begin to break up the fallow ground. That you would begin to tenderize hearts all across the room with the revelation of this. You are who you say you are. You're faithful. You're true. You're merciful. You're just. I keep seeing this in my heart and in my eye. It kind of connects to what we talked about last Sunday on thankfulness. I see it like tethered together. What I see in my mind is that there have been intense hurts across the room, and it's made your thanksgiving full of hesitation, because it's hard to tether thanksgiving when your heart isn't full of trust, because it almost feels like even you hear this tonight and it's like, is this that? There's got to be more than this. You're just telling me get planted, die, trust God, and the Lord's saying yes. And if you would trust him, there's thanksgiving that's just going to bellow out of your soul. It's going to bellow out of your heart. So Lord, tonight I just pray, even to you, I just see this. I know we were talking about the river earlier, but I love what David prays when he says that day and night, my tears have been my food, my sustenance. But I just even see this. I feel like I saw this even in worship, and even as I was speaking, I felt like tears were going to fall afresh. And it's those tears that are going to begin to soften up the soil of your heart. As you begin to forgive, as you begin to release, as you begin to surrender afresh, the Lord's meeting you there. And as those tears begin to fall, it's like I see this beautiful picture of Jesus putting his hand in the soil and he's breaking up the ground. I know this is a wild picture, but I see it and I'm moved by it. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. We were talking about unless a seed falls into the ground, it remains alone. But if it dies, it'll bear much fruit. I just see this picture tonight of Jesus getting in the ground with us. Whoa. Where we've perceived dying for him and surrender to him as something, as a means of proving ourselves. God's saying, no, I'm dying with you because I have died with you. I died as you, and I will do it again and again and again and again and again and again. He's not going to give up. He'll do it time after time. You jump out of the soil because you're not ready, and you're like, oh, I can't do this. And he meets you out of there and says, all right, let's do it together. I feel that. The Lord's breaking off that orphan thing that's in our generation where we so do for God, and he's saying, do it with me. Do it with me. You're a son. You're a daughter. Go through the hardship with me. Go through the tears with me. Go through the anxiety with me, because it's when you do it with me, there's resurrection on the other side. But you don't get resurrection without the one that has died and has been raised to newness of life. See that tonight. The only way that we get planted is by getting arrested in his love afresh. And I just hear the Lord saying violently, I love you. I love you. I love you. That he would be what the firstborn among the dead, saying, you can die because I did it first. I love you so much that I died and I chose to be the seed in my father's house and surrender myself for you. Now let's die together and watch what the Father does. Healing, trust. I just see this too, people. You've been in what's felt like extended seasons of depression. Extended seasons of anxiety. And the Lord's meeting you. I love what Jason Upton says. He said it years ago in a song of his. I just keep hearing this synonymous thing about seeds and trust. But Jason Upton says, he said, trust is the purest form of worship. And I believe this about our generation. We know how to sing songs, but we don't know how to get in the soil. It's like I said earlier, A.W. Tozer's quote, Christians don't tell lies, they just sing them. And God's saying, there's only a song that you can sing in worship out of trusting me and just die. So Lord, we let go tonight. I just feel this all across the room. If you feel that you need to step out of a place before the Lord, I keep getting this picture of people just laying, whether it's like coming up here and laying prostrate, almost like embodying the physical form of a seed. I just see the Lord coming and laying on top of you, just like Paul did with Eutychus. And you would feel his comfort as he's laying with you in what feels like that grave or what feels like that soil. But you would know and trust that he knows the perfect time for resurrection. But if that's anyone across the room, I feel this to break out. This is these moments like this in God's presence are getting beyond what people think. This isn't about, oh, are they living in sin or what's wrong with them? This is saying, no, I'm giving everything to Jesus afresh. And I know we've been on this journey on these Friday nights, but we can't not out-surrender what Jesus has already surrendered for us. And I just feel like he's inviting us into the hot pursuit of saying, Lord, I will do it this month and next month and the month after that, in 20 years from now, in 50 years from now, whether I'm here at Upper Room or you put me in the soil of a foreign mission field, I can know how to die there because you've taught me how to die here. I just want to live with you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. We trust that your ways and your plans are higher than ours. We trust your body, which is your church. We can listen, I hear this. You can trust the church because it's not another man's head on the shoulders of this body. It's Jesus. Jesus is the head. He's the head. He's the head. And if he is in the head, he is in control and you can trust him. I just feel that tonight. God's not after anything else but your trust. So I just say that again. I just want to invite all across the room, wherever you're at, I just feel this. I don't know why I just keep seeing this place just full. And I feel this, like, let's just say, Lord, we're going to lay here. We're going to get in this soil. And just say, God, it goes against every fiber of my being. But I'm going to get before you. And I'm going to let you do what only you can do. Just love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Lord, let it be. Lord, let the lives, and I just see this. God, let the seeds that you are planting in this house, God, let it be a remnant and a first fruits, Lord, of what you're wanting to do in an entire generation. I just even pray that even as you're surrendering, I feel this, that your seed is a seed of faith of what we're praying for in the earth. And that's this, a generation that says, God, I will give you everything because better is one day here. I just keep hearing him say that. Better is one day here. Better is one day here. Better is one day in my presence. Better is one day in my house. Better is one day in my courts. Because this is what I keep seeing. Whoa, he's zooming us out. Because when we get to that day in the fullness of his glory, we're not going to want to be anywhere else. We're not going to want to be exploring the backsides of heaven and going here. We're just going to say, I want to be in his presence. I want to be looking at his beauty. I want to be gazing upon his faithfulness. And we just say, Lord, why not now? Why not break in into this moment on this side of eternity and say, Lord, teach us that great eternal reality. Let it not just be a longing of a person in the Bible's heart. Let it be the longing of a generation. The Lord's teaching us to die. Because if we can die here, we can die anywhere. I just even feel that, the fear of death, woo, breaking off of people. Because when you've died with Christ, you're already dead. And death has no sting. When you've already died as the seed and the surrender and in the soil, if persecution and trouble comes, it's like that Matthew 13 reality. I'm already dead. Ha ha, I'm already dead. I've already been buried with him. And the Lord, I just see, even now as you're laying there, he's just throwing the dirt on top of you. It's like I see him, he's laying beside you and he's throwing the dirt on top of you. He's just sitting there, and I just feel like I hear laughter saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? But I just even pray that I hear that prophetically even over us as a house. He's teaching us to die again. He's teaching us to die again, not to get beyond it, but to learn how to dwell in it. So we just say yes tonight, Jesus. We just say yes. Lord, I say yes.